Good evening, everyone. We're glad to see you at the midweek service. Thankful for your presence, your support through this week. So 641 is our opening hymn. Revive thy work, O Lord, thy mighty arm make bare. Speak with a voice that wakes the dead, and make thy people hear. 641, please, and we'll stand as we sing. Just by in prayers, we commit the meeting to the Lord tonight. Our gracious Father, we bow in your presence. We want to take the words of this hymn and make them our prayer. At the beginning of the service tonight, we ask thee, Father, to come and revive us. We pray that you will revive our hearts. We pray for revival of the meetings that are held here in this congregation. We pray, Father, for a revival of the work of God all across the land. It is for a move of the Lord that we cry tonight. We ask thee to increase that burden upon our hearts. We do want to praise thee, Father, for this week, for the nights that have been set aside for prayer. We do thank you for answering our prayers and for being with us. We praise thee for the blessing that we've known. We thank you for the blessing that the meetings have been. the blessing to the church here, to the congregation. And we praise thee, Father, for each one that has been present, for those that have come along night by night. And we thank you for the interest, the concern in the work of God here. And Lord, our prayer is that you'll bless us again tonight. We want to pray for a good end to these special nights of prayer. We're asking that the tide will come in. We pray you'll give us the waters tonight to swim in. We pray, Father, that you'll give us even more of your blessing than we've known on former nights. We would cry, Father, for that blessing of which Malachi spoke, that you'll open the windows of heaven and pour out upon us such a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. We think of what we have considered this week from your word, and we want to pray, Father, for your power. We pray for the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives. We pray for the power of the Spirit to be known and evident and manifest in all of our meetings. Pray even tonight that we will know the Holy Ghost is here. We pray that it will be working amongst us. We want to ask that we will know his help, especially when we come to prayer and when we come to seek thee. And Lord, we remember last night we considered praying for souls, and we want to ask, Father, for souls to be saved through the witness, the ministry of this church. We ask thee, Father, give to each one of us a soul-winning ministry. Make us soul winners. You've said that if we follow thee, that you'll make us fishers of men. And our prayer tonight is put your hand upon our lives and mold us and shape us and make us that we can be vessels that you can use in the winning of others to the Saviour. Lord, our desire is to be like Barnabas, that even we considered briefly last night that much people was added on to the Lord through his life. Lord, we would cry for such a life, for such a witness to be used, even in such a manner that many people are brought to Christ through our efforts. We pray that this will be a year of soul winning for us as a congregation. We want to pray, Father, that every department of the church will be blessed and used of God to bring others to the Saviour. We pray that there will be not one department of the church that loses out or that misses that experience, that blessing. Lord, we pray, put your hand upon this church and every witness of it in this city and in this community. We ask you to give us souls in the Lord's day, in our meetings, especially the gospel service. We've been singing about revival. And Lord, come and revive our evening gospel meetings. May the breath and the power of God be upon them. Pray that you'll move in this city, Father, that you'll work in this city in such a way that the fear of God will come upon this city of Armagh. We remember, Father, what you did those years ago whenever Philip went down to the city of Samaria and he opened his mouth and he preached Christ unto them, and there was joy in that city. We thank, Father, of the work that was done, and we would cry to thee to come and do the same work here in this city of ours. We pray for a stirring of God to be known. And Lord, we're praying particularly for Tynan during this week. And Lord, it is for such a move of the Holy Ghost that we would cry for tonight. Save us in our prayers from just drawing nigh with our lips while our hearts are far away from thee. Lord, as we cry to thee tonight, may our prayers be the pouring out of our hearts, of our souls. Your word says that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we ask thee, Father, give us that fervency tonight as we pray. Help us to hold on and to wrestle. Help us to be serious and to be in earnest as we present our petitions. And Lord, we ask for your blessing. We ask for your hand to be upon those meetings from the very beginning. We're praying that the Spirit will be at work in every one of those services. We pray it will be evident in the meetings that God is speaking. We pray it will be evident that you're working in that area as we think of those that are brought in, those that are drawn in, even to those meetings. And oh God, we pray that early in that mission there will be a break, and early in those meetings, that there'll be those brought to Christ, even to encourage all of our hearts. Remember those who can't be here tonight because of circumstances, especially ill health. We ask thee to be near to them. We pray that they would know your presence, the hand of God upon them. Pray that very soon they will be able to return and to fellowship with us in the house of God. So, Lord, hear our prayers now. Guide us through the meeting. Help us in the preaching. May we know the power of God tonight upon the message. May it speak to our hearts. And, Lord, give us then the aid of your Spirit as we come to lift our prayers and petitions and to wrestle with God at the throne of grace. We offer these our prayers tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. 510. How I praise thee, precious Saviour, that thy love laid hold of me. Thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me, that I might thy channel be. So 510, 1, 3 and 5, just the odd numbers, will stand again as we sing, please. First Thessalonians chapter 5, please. First Thessalonians chapter 5. And we're beginning to read at verse 12. First Thessalonians 5 and verse 12. Let's hear the Lord's word to our hearts tonight. We'll read down just to the end of the chapter. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labour among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And the Lord will add his blessing to this reading of his word. The verse 25 pleases our text. Brethren, pray for us. This week, on the previous nights, we've emphasized to you some important matters that we need to pray for as we think of the gospel mission. They're relevant to the work of God in general, but we're thinking especially of the gospel meetings planned for Tynan, wanting to direct your thoughts and your minds, direct your prayers, to be able to focus our prayers. We thought of the need of power on Monday night, to pray for power. We thought last night about praying for souls. We have not because we ask not, asking the Lord to work in the saving of souls. Tonight we want to think about praying for the evangelists. If I could remind you that Paul often appealed for the prayers of God's people. Here is one example, our text before us. Brethren, pray for us. He's making an earnest, heartfelt appeal here for the prayer support of the people of God. If you think also Paul's words in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 11, ye also helping together by prayer for us. Notice what he says there. He's teaching us that here's a way for you to help in the work. Here's a way for you to help in the church, in the gospel mission. Here's a way that you can be a co-worker and a co-laborer by prayer for the Lord's servants, those that are full-time workers in the cause of the gospel. You know, sometimes we wonder why the preacher or the evangelist doesn't have more power. Sometimes we're querying and asking, why does there not be more blessing? Why is there not more souls being saved? Or why did that brother or that sister go astray? Maybe the answer is we didn't pray. We didn't hold them up before the Lord at the throne of grace as we ought. So we want to think tonight about praying for the evangelists. Mr. Spurgeon once was asked, what was the secret of his ministry, the blessing of God upon his ministry? The answer that he gave is very insightful, very instructive. He said, my people pray for me. And that is, brethren and sisters, the secret of any ministry that knows the blessing of God upon it, the prayer support of the Lord's people. General Gordon, that went out to the Sudan, died there in Khartoum, he said that he valued the prayers of God's people more than all the wealth of the Sudan. And I want to assure you all tonight that we need and we value your prayers. Speaking on behalf of the Reverend Crane and myself, we value your prayers. So we think of those gospel meetings. We can do without many things, but we cannot do without the prayers of God's people. I emphasize that this is not the only thing that you can do for the ministry here. It's not the only thing that you can do for the gospel mission, but it is the first thing that you should do. It's the first thing that we should do in any work that we seek to put our hand to for the Lord. Give ourselves to seeking him in prayer. So I want to encourage you tonight to pray for the preachers, the evangelists. Pray for them at home. Whenever you're having your devotions, add the mission, add the evangelist to your prayer list. I want to encourage you to pray for us at your family altar. Be an example to your family. And pray for the preachers. Pray for the Lord's servants. You know, sometimes what happens is parents criticize the preacher. They do that openly before the whole family, maybe sitting around the dinner table. One of the results of that is you can't pray for the preacher then, because you seem like a hypocrite before your family. So that's something you need to be very careful about. I also suggest to you that at home you could hold special seasons of prayer for the mission and for the work of God in generally, and especially over the period of the gospel mission. Set 5 or 10 minutes aside, maybe every day, and just lift your heart to the Lord for those special meetings and all that will take place. But we also encourage you to pray for the evangelists publicly here in the prayer meetings of the church. We thank those who have done that. I assure you it's a great encouragement. It is an example to others, and we urge you tonight to continue to pray publicly for the mission, for the preachers, and we encourage you to increase those prayers. Increase those prayers as the work of God here in Armagh continues, and also as the gospel mission approaches. And very quickly now, we're into the month of May, and just another month or so in those meetings will be commencing in the will of the Lord. You might ask tonight, what prayer requests should I make for the evangelists? Well, let me quickly suggest some answers for you, some areas that you can focus your petitions upon. Let me encourage you, first of all, to pray for guidance. Remember that what is said of Haggai. He was the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message. What that means was that he came with God's message for the people at that time. And I want to encourage you to pray for the evangelists at the mission, that it will be the same for them, that we will come with the right message. We will come with the right message for that meeting, and we will come with the right message for the people who will be present in the meetings, night by night. The Lord knows the end from the beginning. He knows those that will come along, and he knows the message that those people will need to hear. So pray for guidance in that regard. Remember, that's a great challenge for the preacher, day by day, week by week, to settle on and prepare the right message for every meeting that is conducted. There's a sense that you read in the prophets about the burden of the prophet, the burden that he delivers. And there's a sense in which that burden is continually upon the heart and mind of the preacher, seeking God for the right message. It's a solemn responsibility, but I want to ask you tonight and encourage you to pray that they will be guided of the Lord. Remember, Job taught how forcible are right words. Notice that the word there is in the plural. He speaks of the right words. So really what he's saying, what he's teaching us is how powerful, how effective the right words or the right message can be. And that's what we need, brethren and sisters. That's what we need in every service, but especially as we think of those gospel meetings. So pray that in every meeting that is held down in Tynan, it will be the right message. It will be the right word, the right message for that service and for every person that will be gathered in. As well as praying for guidance, we encourage you to pray for power for the evangelists. We've talked a little about that this week already. We've encouraged you to pray for power on the church, the power of God on the mission, on the area. I urge you tonight to pray specifically for the preachers, the evangelists, to have the power of the Holy Ghost resting upon them. Remember what Paul said, writing to the Corinthians, and my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And brethren and sisters, that's the sort of preachers, that's the sort of preaching we need in our land at this time. And that's the sort of preachers and preaching that we need at the gospel mission. Preaching that is Spirit anointed. Preaching that is in the power of the Holy Ghost, as Paul said, that is a demonstration of the Spirit's power amongst us. You think of Leonard Ravenhill, the noted English evangelist. One of the quotes that he was most remembered for was, "In all thy getting, get unction." We run about trying to get all sorts of things for the Church of Jesus Christ. "In all thy getting, get unction." In other words, get the power of God. That is the great need of the hour, brethren and sisters, the great need. That is our greatest need, to get the unction or the power of God resting upon our meetings and upon our preachers. Some of you remember the mission down in Killaloe that we held maybe 11, 12 years ago down there in the farmer's hall. I went out around the village, did the doors. I was standing on a door on the main street, a lady that didn't know who I was. She took a look at the invitation, read my name on the invitation, and then she said to me, "What sort of preacher is this Reverend David McMillan?" Well, I just smiled and looked at her and said, "He's middling enough." She looked back for a moment, a wee bit puzzled, and then she realised who she was actually speaking to and had a little laugh. But I say to you, brethren and sisters, the sort of preacher we want to be is full of the Holy Ghost. So I ask you tonight, I appeal to you, to make that a matter of earnest prayer. If you read the story of Mr. Moody, there came a stage in his life where there was two ladies that prayed for him as he preached. They would sit up near the front of the church, and as he was preaching, they were praying. He asked them, "Why don't you pray for the people?" They replied and said, "Because you need the power of the Spirit upon your ministry." At first, Moody wasn't very pleased, but as time went by, he realized his need. And he said he felt that he did not want to live if he couldn't have this power, the power of the Spirit, upon his life. For several weeks, he prayed with those ladies every Friday afternoon until the Spirit of God came down in all its fullness upon his life. So, brethren and sisters, we need your prayers. As the text says, brethren, pray for us and pray that the power of the Holy Ghost in all the fullness of his power will come upon the evangelists. Something else that emphasizes is we need utterance, need you to pray for utterance. Can I point out to you that some meetings are more difficult than others? Some meetings are harder than others to conduct, harder than others to speak in. Maybe you sense that, maybe you never realized it. Well, I say to you, if you have sensed that some meetings are more difficult than others, the preacher has sensed that much more than you have, as he stands alone at the front in the pulpit, seeking to deliver the message of God with all of the challenges that he has to contend with. Some meetings are more difficult than others. There are meetings, it's a far greater challenge to speak in. Not every meeting is the same. Mr. Spurgeon, on one Lord's Day, had a very difficult meeting. He went home very discouraged, very dejected, very disappointed. He didn't think that he got any liberty at all, didn't think the message went across to the people with any clarity whatsoever. But he said that one result of that meeting, the discouragement that he had, it encouraged him to pray more for that service. And it encouraged him to pray more afterwards for the message that he had delivered than maybe he had ever prayed for any service before. And the Lord answered those prayers. Remember, the Lord can overrule. At best, we're unprofitable servants. And the Lord can overrule even our feeble efforts. And he did in that case with Mr. Spurgeon as well. Paul said to the Ephesians, he asked them to pray and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. That word utterance is the idea of liberty, freedom of speech, speaking freely and easily. And one thing you learn in those words is that even Paul didn't always have it. There's times that he struggled. And the lesson that he's teaching us there is that you need to ask for it. You need to pray for it, as the Apostle Paul did himself. And as he encouraged those Ephesian believers to pray that he would receive it from the hand of God as well. You think of Isaiah. He said he was a man of unclean lips. That he is unworthy to speak. And don't we all feel like that? But remember what the Lord did for Isaiah at that time in chapter 6 of his prophecy. It says, he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. So brethren and sisters, we need the touch of God. The touch of God upon our mouths and upon our lips, to preach the gospel as we ought. And I urge tonight, and I ask you to pray for it. I urge you to ask the Lord to grant it to us. We sometimes sing the words, fill me, O Lord, with thy desire, for all who know not thee, and then touch my lips with holy fire, to speak of Calvary. So pray God will touch the lips of the preachers. Paul said to the Corinthians, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So we need to ask that the Lord will give the Spirit. I ask you to pray that the Spirit will come into those meetings and will give the liberty, give the freedom to preach the gospel. So that's utterance. Another thing that you can pray for is protection. Remember that Peter warns that the devil goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And if that is true of God's people in general, it is especially true of the preacher, especially true of the evangelist. The devil will want to take them out of the work, so they will be his prime target. Do you remember the command that the king of Syria gave to his 32 captains? He said, fight neither with small nor great, save only with the king of Israel. The king of Israel there was the wicked Ahab. But that was the battle plan of the king of Syria, to take out the king of Israel. And he believed that if he did that, the army of Israel would be demoralized and they would be easily defeated. And brethren and sisters, the devil has the same strategy of attack. He wants to attack and bring down the leaders in the work of God. So I encourage you to pray for their safety. Pray for their protection. Pray for the evangelists that God will keep his preserving hand upon them. Ask the Lord to keep them safe. Keep them from danger. Keep them from illness and accident. Ask the Lord to keep them from discouragement. Remember, that's one of the devil's greatest weapons. And especially, ask the Lord to keep them from falling, doing something that would be displeasing in the sight of God. Remember, Paul pleaded with the church at Rome to pray that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. He asked the Thessalonians to pray for that, or he asked the church at Rome to pray for that deliverance. But he also asked the Thessalonians to pray that he would be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. He knew he was in danger as he went about on his missionary journeys, and he knew that he needed the prayers of God's people. So there's two examples where he appealed to the churches to pray for his safety and his protection. And I want to ask you, brethren and sisters, to do the same. The final matter that I'll mention to you tonight is pray the evangelists would be soul winners. The Saviour said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So it's clear God wants to use the preacher, use the evangelist as a soul winner, as a fisher of men. So pray that the evangelists at our mission will be used to win souls. Remember, soul winning is the main business. Let us keep our focus on it. Let us never be diverted from it. Do you remember those that went to Antioch? They were preaching the Lord Jesus. We're told about them in Acts chapter 11. It says the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. So let us ask the Lord to put his hand upon the mission, brethren and sisters, and the preachers at the mission in exactly the same way. Remember, he's the same God. Ask the Lord to put his hand upon those meetings so that a great number down in that community will turn to Jesus Christ in salvation. You know, on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 was saved. I looked up, it's the 2011 census. There's been another one since that. But just slightly over 70 people in Tynan was the number of folk that live in that community just a little over 10 years ago. So it's not beyond the Lord's power to save everybody in that village and in that community. So pray, brethren and sisters, a great number will turn to Christ in salvation. You think of Jonah. Despite his disobedience and his bad attitude, God used him. Used him in a mighty way. I mentioned to you the whole village there. Well, remember that the whole city of Nineveh turned to God. There were 60,000 children, little children, in the city. 120,000 children alone. A vast city. And that whole city turned to God in sackcloth and in ashes. So just think of that. Think of what God did in that heathen city. It is sometimes described as the greatest revival in the Old Testament scriptures. So brethren and sisters, let us cry for a similar move of God through our gospel meetings. Samuel Chapman, the Methodist evangelist and preacher, prayed in all his special meetings that God would raise a Lazarus. In other words, God would give him the biggest sinner in that town. And that's what we need to pray for as well. What an impact that would have. What a testimony that would be to the power of the gospel. You think of when the Savior went to Samaria. He met a woman at the well. And the result was she went down into the town and started to tell of what had happened. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him because of the testimony of that woman. So pray, brethren and sisters, God will give us such conversions. And pray that God will give us such trophies of grace. You know, we nearly get to the stage that there's so much barrenness all around us. And we've gone through barrenness for so long that we doubt if there could ever be anything else. May God rid us and save us from unbelief. So praying for the evangelists, for guidance, for power, for utterance, for protection, and God will put his hand upon them and use them as soul winners. Let me tell you in closing, the evangelist J. Wilbur Chapman, remember he was a Presbyterian minister and evangelist, he served his time in evangelism under D.L. Moody. He was holding a mission one time in England. The numbers were small. It was a difficult time. But John Hyde, praying Hyde, the missionary to India, was in the area, and he prayed for those meetings. He took J. Wilbur Chapman and that gospel mission upon his heart, and it turned the tide. Many souls were saved. Praying Hyde was going out of the service one night, and Chapman said to him, "Mr. Hyde, I want you to pray for me." Praying Hyde came to the room where Chapman was staying. He said it was a great experience to sit in the presence of that great man of God. He didn't rush into the presence of the Lord. He sat still for some time. And he said, from the depth of his soul, "Oh God, And then he paused for some minutes. Chapman reckoned there was at least five, without another word. And another cry went up. Oh God, the burden on his heart. And then he sought the face of the Lord, Chapman said, in a manner that he had never heard in all his life and all his experience. He told his friends, I have learned some great lessons concerning prayer through that encounter with John Hyde. But brethren and sisters, let me make that same request. As the evangelists in the gospel mission, we want you to pray for us. As Wilbur Chapman asked John Hyde those many years ago, we want you to pray for us. We need your prayers. I say to you tonight, we need your prayers more than anything else. If we're to be used in that mission, it will only be in answer to the prayers of God's people. Brethren, pray for us. As Paul made that appeal those many years ago, I want to make that same appeal tonight in this prayer meeting at each one of your hearts. We're going to sing together a verse or two of 165.